This is The Impromptu, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. And now, your hosts for today, Michael Norton and Alex Knight.
Yeah. I don't have any set topics for this week. Again, just seems kind of like a quiet week. Do you have anything? Anything on your mind?
Well, there's the teaser trailer for Spectre.
I haven't seen it. I should probably take a moment and watch it right now.
Yes.
Did it just come out like other day or? Okay. Yeah, because I thought I heard something about that coming out this week, but I must have missed it. Is it on trailers.apple.com?
Just go here.
Okay. Cue dramatic music.
What I like about this trailer is that there's no action.
Yeah. What's it? I can't remember the name of the actress that plays the African and American woman. She's playing Moneypenny, right?
Yeah, she's playing Moneypenny.
Yeah. Which I think is an awesome change.
Well, it is, but then the sad thing is she was a field agent, and then
they reduced her to a desk.
Yeah, at the end of Skyfall, she's like, "Oh, I'm M's secretary now.
I'm not cut out for this."
It's Naomi Harris, by the way.
Yeah. Just the right lighting so you can't see my face.
Yep. Just like every bit where Blofeld was around.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me like they're on a trend to kind of take some of the old ideas that we've already seen, kind of rehash them.
Yeah, I feel like they're kind of trying to reboot it, but in a modern context, so it's
not that it is a bad thing, but because there seems to be, I guess with the Craig movies, they seem to have a more serious kind of gritty tone.
Yeah. What I like is that with this, the guy in the cabin is Mr. White mm-hmm. from Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So somehow it's going to tie back to the Quantum organization that was doing all the evil stuff in the first two mm-hmm. movies. I don't know if they're going to turn out to be Spectre or part of Spectre or whatever, but the fact that he knows what Spectre is kind of implies a tie there.
Sure.
And
do you I don't know if you were one of those people, but in Skyfall, I know there were some people that complained about the reappearance of the original Aston Martin. Was the DB, is it the DB5?
Yeah.
Because they said, well, it's kind of like it's a throwback to the original Connery films, and it didn't really serve any purpose. But
well,
and that might be true, but
my problem with it was that it kind of defies continuity. It's like,
right,
it's not just a car like the one in Goldfinger.
Yeah, it's like the exact same car
from Goldfinger. So it's like, how did it get there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and even M's comment about
the ejector seat.
The ejector seat. Yeah, we don't go in for that kind of thing anymore. You know.
No, it was like, did she say that? Well, she said, "Go ahead, eject me. See if I care."
Yeah, there was some comment about something about the car that she said they don't do
that. Oh no, that was Q.
Oh, was that Q?
Okay. He was like, he gives Bond the gun and the radio transmitter, and then he goes,
yeah.
He says something like, what were you expecting, an exploding pen?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't go
yeah,
in for that right. sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it, like, I liked it. I didn't mind it being around, but I felt they could have done a better job tying it into the continuity. Like,
yeah.
He got it, from a,
because it can't,
from
it's
a
not
previous
like they
agent
can,
that
right,
he was friends
right.
with, or like some kind of reasoning for why yeah. he would have that exact car.
Right, because we know that, I mean, at least as far as what was established in previous movies, that was Sean Connery's Bond car, right? So, like, at least in the beginning, so there can only be one 007 as far as I know, right? Like, if that agent is killed, that you'd have 008 and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is a fan theory that it's like 007 James Bond is a handle that they give to their top agent. But...
Yeah, I guess.
It just doesn't
matter. I mean,
that's
a convenient way of explaining it.
Yeah, but then if you stop to think about it for more than 5 minutes, it doesn't make any sense. Like, too mm-hmm. much is different that it doesn't really hold up.
Right.
People thought they might do that for Skyfall, and that Silva would actually be like a previous 007, and that's why he hated M so much. But it didn't pan out that way.
Yeah. Were you one of those people that didn't like the ending to Skyfall, the whole part on the ranch?
Oh no, that was the best part.
I liked it, but I know there were complaints about that. I don't really get it though.
Why were they complaining about
it? I don't remember.
Huh.
It might have been John Gruber or somebody else that was saying that they didn't feel that whole scene was as strong as the rest of the movie, but I don't know. I don't remember. Somebody said it. Somebody was complaining about it.
Well, I think it was a bit more subdued, but then there was also more action in that.
Yeah, the whole scene, the whole
film.
Yeah,
like
I kind of like I like the idea that like he had nowhere to escape and he's basically pinned down, right? So you're escalating the level of risk involved
well,
in surviving that whole thing.
He deliberately lured them there to avoid collateral damage.
Right.
So that no one else would get hurt. And so it elevated the risk for him and M, but it protected innocent people.
Yeah.
Unlike something the Superman in Man of Steel would do.
Oh, let's not go there again. We've done that a few times.
I know,
times.
We've done that.
So when is this coming out, Spectre?
November 6th. But I think that's the premiere in London. I think it comes out here a little later.
Have they released any information as far as how many movies Daniel Craig is going to do? Like, did he do like a 3-movie contract deal or what?
I don't know. They've kind of gone back and forth on that. They try not to really go into what's going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think he could keep doing it as long as he wants to do it.
I kind of want to see a movie where you've got an aging James Bond, you know, basically at the end of his career, and he's struggling to find relevance in a modern world. That would be kind of cool. They kind of did that with what was the last the non MGM sanctioned Bond film with Connery, like the last
God.
One where he was like
Never
really
Say
old.
Never Again.
Yeah,
which was
the kind
a redo
of
Thunderball.
Right. They kind of did that a little bit, like they acknowledged his age.
Yeah.
But I want to see more of that.
Well, they kind of did in Skyfall, like he had been torn up.
Well, not, but he's still a pretty young guy. I mean, he just went on a bender and he was out of the service for a while, right? But
yeah,
like, I'm talking like
he did fail all of those tests.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like he's not in good shape compared to what he used to be, and I don't know. I feel like they're showing that a lot of time has actually passed, because if you look at that trailer for Spectre, Mr. White looks about what? I mean, he looks very disheveled, but he clearly looks a lot older
than he was. Yeah, very old.
So
yeah.
They're suggesting that a lot of time has actually passed between Quantum of Solace and Skyfall. Yeah. And Spectre takes place maybe a few weeks after Skyfall. Because obviously MI6 is still bombed out. And
sure.
He's like back in London after the fight at Skyfall.
Yeah.
So that I kind of like, that it's like literally taking place right after the previous movie. That's cool.
Well, didn't Quantum of Solace pick up from Casino Royale as well?
Yeah, it did. But I think the time gap was a bit wider.
Right.
This would be the first time where it's been literally like the next week, practically. But oh, actually, you know what? The gap between Quantum of Solace and Casino Royale is actually shorter. Because Casino Royale starts, and I forgot this because I haven't seen it in a while, it starts with Bond driving to Siena with Mr. White in the boot of his car.
Yeah, exactly.
After he captured him at his villa.
Yeah.
Right at the end of Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. After she told him where to find him before she died. So that's like minutes after the previous movie. That seems to be their like go-to thing for these movies. They want it to feel like a very condensed continuity, like these films are part of a larger story.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to bringing it back to the original Bond, because I actually just started watching the old films again.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done that in a long time.
And Dr. No and From Russia with Love really nicely dovetail, because he kills Dr. No at the end of Dr. No, and then From Russia with Love, Spectre's meeting him being like, we will get revenge on Bond for killing Dr. No. Ha-ha. So they kind of had that same movie-to-movie continuity where things caught up with him and everything was a callback.
Yeah, From Russia with Love was a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. No was good as well, but it's one of those things where between those two, right, people will say either one of those is their favorite Bond film, right?
I almost feel like Dr. No was kind of the pilot for James Bond. And then after it did so well and everybody loved it, then From Russia with Love was bigger budget, had more control over everything. Because, like, Dr. No feels kind of subdued, and that they didn't have a lot of money, so a lot of it was just very basic sets. They clearly spent the most money on the lair at the end with the nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was just like people's houses or whatever.
I'm wondering why it took all the way to Skyfall to go into the background of the character, learning a little bit more about his past. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that sort of thing before, sort of. On Her Majesty's Secret Service, we get a little bit of background for his family and such. But that's about it, at least in the original continuity. That's pretty much the only information we get about his family.
Yeah, I mean, those most of the movies are pretty formulaic, but it gets boring. I mean, I'm glad they did it in Skyfall, but I'm just kind of surprised it took that long. How many Bond movies have they made, right?
Yeah.
20 plus films or something?
Well, I think it's just a response to the modern moviegoer and really the modern content consumer at this point.
Sure.
Like, we're living in
people
a time
expect
where
more.
People are watching Breaking Bad and
yeah.
The
yeah,
Walking
exactly.
Dead. Like, they're looking for
oh,
these
certainly.
Intense
I mean,
character dramas and such.
Yeah, there's no question.
The action.
Yeah.
People are realizing that, no, they don't necessarily want to turn their brains off and watch explosions all the time.
Right.
Which is great.
There's no question that the quality of cinema and storytelling has been pushed, for sure, in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah. So now we have Spectre with this mysterious family secret all tied up in Blofeld. And let's get real, he's Blofeld. I don't care. You can name him Oberhauser or whatever the hell you want to name him. He's Blofeld. He just is. Sitting at that table in shadow going, "Hello, James." Like, no.
I would
Blofeld.
Be surprised if they didn't actually call him by that name. Because everyone is just going to be like, "Well, that is the character, so why would you bother?" Like, you're not going to get away with changing the name, so you might as well call him Blofeld.
Well, I think there might be a twist, like it's an assumed name or something.
Well, he pulls off, it turns out he's wearing a fake mask and somebody else the whole time. Ha-ha!
And then
a cat
appears and jumps in his arms. It's like, yes, yes, my precious cat, at last I can hold you, revealing my true identity. And then the movie just turns into Austin Powers 4.
Oh, God.
No, I don't think they'll do the cat. I don't see Christoph Waltz being the kind of villain who holds a cat.
It's just kind of silly.
It is.
Today, right? It just
especially after
up.
Dr. Evil. Like, they ruined that completely. Like, whereas before it was menacing, now it's just like, yeah.
Why don't you just shoot him while he's on the can or something? No, we don't do that. I'm going to put him in an overly elaborate, easily escapable situation and assume it all went according to plan.
That was a pretty good impression.
I wasn't even trying, thank you.
Yeah, not bad. But yeah, like, from Russia with Love, he's holding his cat as they plot their revenge against Bond, and he's giving this elaborate thing about Siamese fighting fish, and then the fish that dies, he feeds it to his cat, and it's like, oh.
I never understood the thing with the cat. Like, is that... That doesn't make the character intimidating to me, so...
I just think it's like... I don't know. It's kind of an affectation that he had, where it was
Well, he's constantly petting
clearly
it, too,
he's
right?
Very,
so it's like,
he's very confident... Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he feels like, well, I'm just going to win. So he's just sitting there holding a cat because how could he possibly lose?
Right.
Like, I'm just going to sit here and pet this cat. Bond will die. Everything will be cool.
See, the thing is, let's say even if he managed to kill Bond, he's going to be pretty bored after that. Until I guess they managed to send another agent after him and
I don't think Blofeld and Bond ever really had like a Batman Joker thing. It was more Bond was getting in his way and he just wanted to get rid of him, but Bond was too good to be killed easily. So they would just keep like trying to kill each other and never quite succeeding. But I think if he were ever able to actually kill Bond, he would just be like, yes, at last, I've killed him. Now we can do all the super evil stuff we were always planning to do, but he kept stopping
us. It'd be funny if he killed Bond and one of his henchmen was like, so boss, what now? I never really gave him much thought before. Anyone up for a game of poker? And then the movie, roll the credits.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's looking interesting at least.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think as long as the script is good.
Yeah.
Because a version of the script actually leaked late last year. And it did.
I hate it when that kind of thing happens. I would never read a leaked script.
Yeah, I kind of.
Because that stuff changes too.
Yeah,
all the time.
It does a lot. Like I read it.
Even during filming, they'll often rewrite things to make sure that they fit.
Yeah. Like I read a TLDR and it didn't sound that great at all. But I think that script came before they actually secured the rights to Blofeld,
mm-hmm.
Inspector.
Okay.
Because okay. This was a whole legal thing.
I didn't... Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
I didn't
so MGM that. And United Artists didn't actually own the rights to Spectre or Blofeld.
Okay.
Or at least the cinematic portrayal of them. That was owned by... Oh, God. I'm going to get this wrong. The McClory Estate.
Now, I thought they could just do whatever they want, because this is a MGM-backed movie, right?
True. Okay.
Why? So Kevin, I don't understand why...
Kevin McClory collaborated with Ian Fleming on the story for the novel Thunderball. He long retained the screen rights to elements of the story, including the use of Blofeld and Spectre, which he was able to use to co-write and produce Never Say Never Again.
Oh.
And so...
I'm by no means a Bond, like... well, I'm a fan, but I'm not... Like, I don't really know a lot of history.
I mean, this isn't something I really knew. But yeah, so... they didn't actually have the right to use Blofeld or Spectre, and they were finally able to secure it in November of 2013.
So, okay, so that's not that long ago.
Yeah. So
they were probably already working on the story back then. So.
So I think the script that leaked was before they got the rights to it.
I see.
So that's probably why it was kind of sucky, because...
Well, it was probably a first draft, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, let's... You know, I could write a draft, like a first rough draft, knowing that I don't have the rights for these characters, right? So you would end up having to make considerable changes. Right, that might have even been a throwaway script. Like, let's just write this and see kind of where this goes. And should we get the rights at some point, then we'll just go back and rework it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Then there was another leaked script, or scene directions, anyway, that sounded a lot better. And I think they actually leaked that intentionally so that people that read the first leak script would be like, oh, okay, this will probably not be anything like that at all. Because, like, the leak script had the Blofeld character turning out to be James Bond's secret brother.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah. So everyone was understandably upset with that idea.
Is that M. Night Shyamalan's version of the script? It's a twist!
Yeah, it's like... Daniel Craig and Christoph Waltz look nothing alike, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, like... that is literally the plot twist that occurred in Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there's no way
we're
that
not
would
so
work.
Different, you and I. I would hope that's the first thing they cut once they got the rights to Blofeld.
I think they should have Goldmember in there. Ah, yes, it's Faza.
And then Christoph Waltz just shoots him in the face, saving us all the trouble.
Right.
He's just like, oh, that was so annoying. Now we can talk. I hope it's good. I hope it's good.
We'll see.
But, I mean, it has no reason not to be. I mean, Skyfall was pretty good, so. Yeah. Moving on. After that long tangent.
So are you excited about the X-Files?
Oh, God. Yes, we haven't even gotten to that yet.
And I've heard rumors that they're going to be filming in Vancouver, which would be perfect.
They've confirmed that they're filming in Vancouver.
Oh, confirmed.
Yes.
Excellent.
Chris Carter and David Duchovny both separately confirmed it in different interviews. Hmm. So we have...
Yeah, I'm excited. So we're getting 6 new episodes.
Yep.
Which is perfect. I was really hoping... You know, people keep asking, when are you going to... at least to Chris Carter, when are you going to make a new X-Files movie, and I just think that's the wrong direction. This series is best told as continuing story.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It has to be episodic. You can't really touch the mythos stuff in like a 2-hour movie and be satisfied.
No. And apparently they will be doing a slight mix of mythology and Monster of the Week.
Okay, I can live with that.
So, like, maybe 1 or 2 episodes will be Monster of the Week, the rest will be mythology.
Yeah.
They will address the alien invasion and all of that stuff.
Good, good. I would love if they did, in terms of the length, if each episode was kind of like a mini movie, like how they do the BBC Sherlock series, you know how it's like an hour and a half, right?
Yeah.
It's like 90 minutes or whatever, like a good solid 90 minutes per episode would be freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, that would be good. Especially because they have so much to go on. Like, they kind of ended it on, like, what the hell's going to happen now? Like, Scully's got this kid that might be the savior of the human race, and the aliens are definitely invading in 2012, so that doesn't quite work. They're going to have to make a change there. I would maybe have it, like, set in either 2014 or now, and it's like the day the aliens were supposed to arrive came and went, and Scully and Mulder aren't quite sure why it didn't happen. And so, like, part of the story can be around, like, okay, what's going on? What happened? Why did the invasion not happen as planned?
Yeah.
It could also bring, like, recent world events into it. Like, obviously 9/11 could be part of the whole conspiracy thing that they had going. And it would be funny because the Lone Gunman spinoff actually, like, the pilot episode had something that was basically exactly like 9/11 as part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So
I saw when, you know, I don't know if you saw the tweets between David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Oh, God, yes.
God, they're so freakishly adorable. Their chemistry is amazing. And, like, just, they're like, are you ready, Mulder? I'm ready, Scully. Like, it's just so awesome to see that.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, in the interview, they were talking, and David Duchovny was like, it's going to be interesting to return to these characters now that we've, like, grown so much as actors.
Yeah.
Trying to have the same character, but then kind of build in that additional experience into how the characters are portrayed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have to address at least the way you would portray those characters would have to be familiar yet somehow new, because you've got, like, all this time has passed, right? So you have to look at it from the angle of how have these characters grown as people, right? How are they going to behave? How are they going to get along with each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I kind of hope the cigarette smoking man shows up again.
I don't know. I mean, how old is that guy now? He was already pretty old.
Oh, he's doing pretty well. Like I said, did I say this to you?
I thought he left the series because he got tired of having to smoke all the time on set.
I don't know. Maybe. He was in the finale, though. Hmm. Getting blown up. But they can always wave their hands around that part. Oh, I survived.
Or maybe he's like a clone or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe he's an alien. Maybe the real cigarette smoking man was replaced long time ago.
By a hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. But I saw some people tweeting at David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson about bringing the Lone Gunman back. Do these people not remember that they were killed off?
Yeah, they died in that pilot, basically.
Yeah.
Which was odd for a pilot, but actually, I don't even remember what that was. Wasn't it just a regular episode of the show?
I think so. It's been a while since I've seen it. They died heroically, giving their own lives, but I mean, it's sad. I mean, it sucks because you get so invested in these characters and you want to see them again, but I mean, yeah, they're dead, so can't really do anything about that unless you try to retcon it, which wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Did you see the picture Ryan Reynolds posted of the Deadpool costume?
Oh yeah,
lying down in front of the fireplace
on a bearskin rug.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was pretty awesome. That's
pretty good. It looks perfect.
Yeah, it looks just like from the comic, and it's got the white lenses on the eyes and everything.
Yeah. And then what was it? Oh yeah, the Twitter account for the movie is only following one account, Hello Kitty.
Which account are you talking about?
The Deadpool movie Twitter account.
Ah, okay.
Which is kind of a subtle reference to the character.
Is it?
I think so, yes.
I don't know. Ah. I think I've read like one Deadpool comic my entire life.
Ah.
I know he breaks... I mean, I know the basics of the character.
Yeah,
I know he's horribly scarred and he constantly breaks the fourth wall, but... There's the Suicide Squad movie, which I'm excited about.
Mm. Yes.
I just sent you a link there. They posted a little photo of... some of the Arkham Asylum patient record binders and stuff like that. It's kind of neat.
Hmm. Yeah, they've been pretty busy on Twitter posting photos of stuff, especially Jared Leto in his Joker.
Oh
era.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the reveal, just to see how he's gonna do in that role. I'm sure he'll do fine. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's an excellent actor, and he's able to... I would actually call him a method actor. He really does go all out to get into a role. I haven't seen that recent movie he did. I think it came out last year where he played a transgender person?
Yes.
He lost a lot of weight.
That was Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's good.
But he definitely gives it his all, so I'm feeling pretty confident.
I'm also glad they got Viola Davis as Amanda Waller. That's perfect.
I don't know who she is.
So Amanda Waller is like a government official who wants to kind of keep a lid on all these superpowered people, control them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is she the one that runs the Suicide Squad group?
Yeah. She's the African-American lady? Oversight over it. Like, yeah. Rick Flag leads the group, but she's in control. Yeah.
Right, so what was the name of the actress that's playing her?
Viola Davis.
Okay. The name doesn't ring a bell.
She was in The Help and has recently been doing an awesome job as Professor Keating in How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay. Haven't seen any of her stuff. I just looked at her IMDb credits here. Oh, she was in Ender's Game. I don't even remember that movie.
I don't think anyone does.
I thought it was okay, but I've never... See, I don't know how to compare it to the book, because I've never read the book.
It's pretty spot on, I would say. They got rid of some of the more racist, biggity sort of things.
Mm-hmm. But, did you like that movie?
It wasn't bad. I've never really been a fan of Orson Scott Card. More so after I discovered all of the biggity stuff. He's intensely anti-gay.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
That's understandable.
But at the same time, it is a fairly good book series. It deals with a lot of issues. But, yeah, he is not a nice person. So, kind of mixed. It's like, okay, the books are good, but... Yeah. I always find that interesting. Like, someone does really good creative work, but then it turns out they're completely awful in real life. So it's like, do I support this stuff, even though I'm supporting someone I don't like or agree with?
Yeah, I hear you. I've been conflicted about that myself. On numerous occasions. Like, I thought about that recently with Woody Allen.
Mm.
Like, because I enjoy some of his movies, but every time I see a movie, I'm just reminded of how gross of a person he is.
Yeah.
I think I had this debate with... Who did I have this debate with? I think it was Jordan Cooper. I can't remember if it was when he was on the show or if I was on one of his shows. But anyways, I was just talking about how, you know, there are so many up-and-coming talented directors that we could give opportunities to. And the fact that Woody Allen is getting this Amazon deal thing, even though he... even came out and said, I have no idea, like, why they're giving it to me. I don't know what to do with this kind of a thing. Like,
yeah.
I need to put the turkey in the fridge. You said you were going to take care of it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And he's one of those directors where he does so many movies, and I guess, you know, there's the occasional one that is good, but I guess because he does... so many movies, like one movie a year, you know, there's you're bound to have the occasional turd, right? They're not all going to work out.
Yeah, I quite liked Midnight in Paris.
That was the most recent one I enjoyed.
But a lot of his movies lately have been pretty hit and miss. And they tend to be, like, these very awkward romantic movies where actors with absolutely no chemistry are paired together, and it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it, but there was one I saw recently with... I'm going to forget his name. The guy from No Country of... Oh, God, what was that movie?
No Country
Old Men. Yeah, that's it. What's his name? Not the Bardem guy, the other guy.
Josh Brolin,
he was in that movie. Mm. He's like a failed writer. And his marriage just goes totally south. I just didn't feel there were chemistry between the characters at all. It was just kind of a overall flat movie for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
There's not much else going on in the movie realm, I think. Nothing, at least, that's piqued my interest.
No, it's basic. We're basically all just waiting for Avengers and Star Wars. Like, any glimpse of Star Wars would be great.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's happening with Future Shop and Best Buy?
Oh, yes. That's our next story.
The world's tiniest violin is playing a song.
So, many of you may be familiar with Best Buy, the American chain of big block tech stores. Up in Canada, we had a similar store called Future Shop, and Best Buy came up here and bought them. And so, for the past, 10 years now, maybe?
That's about right.
Yeah. So for the past 10 years, we've kind of lived in a state of having Future Shop and Best Buy stores around. They sell all the same products.
Yeah.
They have...
Mostly
the same.
And sometimes in very close proximity to one another, which seems... I knew right from the get-go that was going to be a mistake.
Yeah. For example, at Lansdowne Mall in Richmond, near where I live, there is a Best Buy directly across from a Future Shop on one side of the mall. So if you're on the Canada line, you can actually see Best Buy here, and then right on the other side of the mall, directly across, Future Shop.
Right. So where do you decide to go?
You don't. If they don't have it at the Best Buy, maybe they have it at the Future Shop. Or vice versa. Yeah. Yesterday, they basically announced that effective immediately, they're closing every Future Shop store in Canada. As part of a reorganization under the Best Buy brand. So they're killing the Future Shop brand, and now all of their stores in Canada that remain will be Best Buys. So what that means is any Future Shop that's near a Best Buy is being permanently closed, and every Future Shop that's not near a Best Buy will be turned into a Best Buy. So that's led to approximately 2,500 people losing their jobs.
And I've heard that a lot of them are not getting jobs at Best Buy. They're going to have to reapply, which really sucks. I don't know. I'd have to look at the detail. I think it was in one of the CBC articles, but I was under the assumption that they operated under one head office kind of thing. But I could be wrong about that. That just doesn't seem right to me, especially people that have been at that company for a long time. Like once upon a time I did work in retail sales at that store, and I knew people who had been there for like 20 years, right? Like people in top commission sales positions. So it seems crazy to me. I would hope that those people would have a job at Best Buy. I don't see how they could, though, because they don't make commission on the products. I mean, they make commission on the warranty that they sell, so that's less revenue for them. They're not getting a slice of product sales. So, yeah, it's tough. You know, the days of commission salespeople who, well, maybe not so much now, but commission salespeople who were actually knowledgeable, who would help you buy a TV or whatnot, or some piece of expensive home theater product, those are going away. Because we had, at least in Canada, you remember A&B Sound, right?
Yeah.
And those guys went away. And we had was it Office Depot or there was another? It was it not CompUSA. There was another big electronic retailer.
We did have Office Depot here.
Comp something,
but.
But there was another one. This was like 15, 20, probably 20 years ago.
Oh. Not sure.
They were bought by somebody, and the name escapes me. Anyways, but the point is that a lot of these places, these big retailers are going away. We've seen that now with Target pulling out of Canada. And now we have Future Shop pulling out, and Best Buy has been struggling as well, which I've got some ideas about why that is. That some of them are it's pretty evident why. But this is, I think this gives them a little bit more runway for now. But I'm not really optimistic about their future unless they're able to do something drastic with their brand within the next 12 months. I don't see them lasting very long. Like, I'll give them maybe 3 years tops before Best Buy, you know, folds, at least in Canada.
Mm.
There's so many things wrong with that brand. Like, I mean, starting with the name Best Buy, when you're no longer the Best Buy because Amazon sells those products cheaper and can ship them to your door.
Well,
that's a problem.
Interestingly, the Apple Store actually sells things cheaper. Like, when I was upgrading to the new 3DS XL, that takes micro SD instead of SD. So I had to go out and buy a micro SD card for it. And I went into Future Shop and I saw they were selling one, a 32 gig micro SD card for, I think it was $60 or $70.
That's way too
much.
And
I found one in the Apple Store for $39.99.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's my point, is that the brand name is problematic when you have, like, maybe it made sense 10 years, 15 years ago, but now you've got Amazon overshadowing you in the online realm. And of course, yes, I realize that, you know, there are people that still like going into retail stores for one or more reasons. Usually it's A, they like to support local businesses and the economy, and B, they like to get products immediately. They don't want to wait 2 days for it to arrive. Now, that's not going to last forever, because Amazon, with their resources and their expertise, they're able to get products shipped to your door faster, and they're doing that by opening up local, what they call fulfillment centers. We have one here in Delta, and certain products get shipped out of that and arrive more quickly than you would think. Mm. And so, yes, there's still a delay. But I think, you know, one thing I would have liked to see from Best Buy a long time ago was, a push in the direction of online sales. They're doing that now, but the experience as well is so bad. Like, their website is just awful, and their iOS app is just, it's junk. And they haven't touched that app since August of last year, and it's just a disaster. It's such a bad experience. Just like Target apps. I mean, all these stores have awful apps. They're just terrible experiences, right? So that's one thing that I think, you know, if it was me, I would be investing resources in completely redoing your public-facing website, your mobile apps. All of that stuff has to be completely redone.
Yeah.
My observation is when I walk into a Best Buy, there's a couple of things. Number one, merchandising is so important in a retail store in order for a customer to find stuff. And I go in there to look at movies. First of all, their movie selection isn't that great. And on top of that, it's never organized. Everything's supposed to be in alphabetical order. And, you know, customers, of course, take stuff and put stuff back in the wrong area, but it's up to them to be reorganizing that stuff, and it's just messy. Like they're like movies in places that they're not supposed to be. Like the shelves are a mess. Like nobody's cleaning them up and organizing them. Like they need dedicated merchandising people to take care of that stuff, to build really nice displays, and they're not doing that. And that's just been the same experience every single time I go into their stores. Secondly, big difference if you compare Best Buy to a store like Apple. Apple very much encourages hands-on playtime with their products. They want you to pick it up. They want you to have that tactile experience and play with fully functioning products. In Best Buy, if I go to the cell phone department, for example, none of the cell phones are functional, at least most of them. They might have like one or two, and they're all strapped down with these complex security devices. You can't really pick them up and look at them carefully. Mm. So they're treating you like a thief automatically, you know. And the people just aren't as well trained. They don't care about their jobs. They're not paid well enough to be doing those jobs, right? And a lot of those people that are working at Best Buy tend to be, you know, younger people, and they don't care about those jobs enough. So they've got a number of problems, that they need to solve. I don't know if they will. You know, if they were really that interested in fixing their business, I would think that they would have made an effort to do that a while ago.
Yeah, I think it's a problem for every major retailer these days.
Certainly, I mean, they all have problems like that to a certain degree. Walmart locally is eating these guys for lunch, for sure.
Yeah, and well, Walmart makes it all about the price. So people will inevitably go there to get a deal.
Sure. But even Walmart, though, they are definitely more organized. Like, products are in their place for the most part. Like, in comparison to Best Buy, Best Buy is a travesty. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I have walked into stores and things have just been kind of... Yeah, not where they're supposed to be at all.
Right.
It's bad. But it depends on the store. I mean, I've walked into stores that have been spotless.
Are you talking about Best Buy specifically? Right.
Yeah.
Every retail store has a store manager. And to me, like, I would be embarrassed to walk in every day and see my store in this, like, constant state of just flux all the time. The one by my house in Coquitlam is notoriously bad. It's constantly a mess.
Yeah, I've been in there a few times. It's not great.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I looked at their careers page to see if they were hiring anybody who has a specialty in brand management, because I think they do have an issue there. But it looked like they were hiring some web development people and whatnot, but yeah, I don't know. Too little, too late. I mean, I said to people when Best Buy made the announcement that they were purchasing Future Shop, and I said to people, like, this from the get-go, this is a mistake having Future Shop and Best Buy living within close proximity of each other. They should have consolidated that from the get-go and just gone all in.
Right? Yeah.
Because what ended up happening over the last 10 years, they started shuttering a lot of the Future Shop stores that were not able to keep up with their daily quotas. The one that used to be in Coquitlam on United Boulevard closed a long time ago. That one was struggling for a long time. Mm. I know this because when I was like 19, I worked at that store for a period of time, and that store always had issues. I mean, it was in a terrible location. I mean, you couldn't get to there easily without a car, right? Mm. So, but anyways, this was a trend. A lot of the Future Shops started closing. Just very slowly and gradually, so that some people didn't really notice it. But it did happen slowly over the course of the last 10 years. So I don't know why they made that decision, but I think it was the wrong decision not to consolidate from the get-go.
I think it may have been like the brand was familiar to people, so they wanted to kind of ease Best Buy in while sort of basically saying like, well, Future Shop is still around, so you can still go and nothing has changed. Everything's fine. But I think, yeah, it might, in the long run, in retrospect, it may have been better to just pull that Band-Aid.
Yeah. Because the thing is, they could have just, you know, they could have shut down the stores and with it, you know, with a big enough crew, like they could have probably rebranded the Future Shops in not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And the people would have still, I'm sure people would have still gone in, right? Because people need electronics, right? So if it's this, if the store is in the same location and now suddenly the name on the outside says Best Buy instead of Future Shop, really, do you think people are just not going to go in? Mm. Of course they're going to go in. And people know the Best Buy brand because, I mean, they're like the number one electronic retailer in the U.S.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case now. I know at some point they were. But I really don't think it would have been a problem.
Yeah. I mean, they still probably would have had to close stores that weren't doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
But I think it would have been far better in the long run. Although, at the same time, I mean, right. They still would have run into issues with online retailers. They still would have run into the problems they're currently having. So, I mean, it wouldn't have made them more able to respond, per se.
Yeah. So it's not looking good. Like, if Best Buy ends up folding, what are we left with? Basically, Walmart to buy? Like, if you want to buy a TV, that's pretty much the only place you'd have to go, or Costco, maybe.
Yeah.
But the days of, like, big box retail stores, like Future Shop and Best Buy, it seems like they're just on their last legs. And I think, you know, you do see smaller niche stores like audio, video, which many people listening to the show are probably not going to be familiar with because they're a Canadian company. But anyway, but you've got niche stores that are differentiating on the high end. They're not competing on the low end. And I think that's fine. It's good to see that as well. And I think those people will probably continue to survive, but it's the big box retail stores that are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I kind of feel like we might miss out as a result because it's going to be more difficult to actually test out these products.
Yeah.
If retailers like that go away, it's like, how do you know if that TV looks good or not? How do you know?
Well, you got to be careful because the thing is, I never trust the demo TVs anyways because I don't know how they're connected and whatnot.
Well, yeah, they do mess with the settings.
But. Yeah, exactly. Like they've got the contrast and everything, they tweak the settings, and then you don't know, are they, you know, how are they daisy chaining things together with Y cables, and is the video quality degrading because of that? Like, I never trust it. For me, I do my research online, and then I won't even look at the TV. I'll read the reviews. I can see the pictures on the website anyway, so I can see what it looks like, and then I'll just go and pick it up. So, like, I might as well just order from Amazon. But then, of course, the question is, I mean, as much as I love Amazon, what's happening to Canadian businesses and the local economy? I mean, we have, as all of these companies start to go away, the only ones we're left with is really American chains. So that's not great either.
No.
But it seems like there's nothing we can do about it.
No, I mean, the market will decide.
Right. It's funny because I always hear, you know, you hear people be very vocal about how, oh, you know, yeah, don't go over the border and shop in the U.S. You know, you're taking money away from local businesses. But the reality is people are not willing to put money where their mouth is, right? When they ultimately, people are very price sensitive, so they're just going to go where stuff is cheaper, and they don't care enough.
Yeah, right? Everybody wants a bargain, and if it's like support Canadian business or spend $500 less, I think people are going to choose the $500.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's only a matter of time before Amazon starts. I'm not going to say for certain because I don't know, but it would seem like a reasonable step that if you ordered something off Amazon, you could maybe pick it up if a fulfillment center is available locally. I don't know if that's a thing in the US, but that would be nice. Because if you live close to one, you could just, you know, I don't, for like a $5 cable, I don't need to pay the shipping. I'll just go pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that would work.
Because then you don't, it's great, because then you don't even need to talk to salespeople. It's like, I know what I want, I've ordered it, pick it up, seal it.
Yeah. You could even have like a thing where you can try it out at that point. Like, you would basically have to kind of rethink how a retail store should work and kind of turn it into kind of a showroom / fulfillment center where it's like,
sure,
you primarily order things online, but then you can also go in and say, I'd like to take a look at product X. And
right.
Like, maybe they just set aside one of everything that they carry.
Yeah.
So that if somebody comes in and asks to see it, then they can.
Sure. See, I'm conflicted because I still have an appreciation for great retail space, and still Apple is the hallmark for that, because I feel like, there's such a good example, because if you ever look at the history of retail, like the one person who revolutionized the way people shop is Harry Gordon Selfridge, right? And when he opened Selfridges in the UK, everybody thought he was crazy that he would open up a store where people could literally go in and browse without any intention of buying a product. They could just pick up stuff, look at it, and walk out without paying, you know, for anything. So, and you know, they would invest all this money in building these beautiful window displays, and it was just like a nice, delightful place to be in. And I feel like that's what an Apple store is like, right? They have these amazing product displays, and you could just walk by and you see these, you know, floor to ceiling, beautiful glass windows you can peer into and see these beautiful displays. And Apple is very much that on a very tiny scale. Obviously, they're not a big box retail store. Yeah. But I feel like we're going to lose something amazing if all of these stores go away. Because I don't think I would want to just shop in a warehouse.
Oh, God, no.
Like, that's kind of like a dreary place to be. Like, that's why I don't really like Costco, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you want to look at that TV? Go to row 27, aisle 3. Yeah.
Exactly.
In 12. And you have to take this ridiculously slow cart.
Yeah, that's just really depressing.
Yeah. No, I mean, people go to retail to have a good experience. They want to walk into this nice place, as you said, and try stuff. And look at stuff.
And there's something to be said for talking to people, having that face-to-face conversation, because not everyone's going to want to research stuff, and some people are not very tech-savvy, and they want someone to tell them what's best for their needs.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we need that. So we need to figure out a way to keep that and somehow make the whole retail shopping thing still work.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
No, but I don't think anyone does, really. I mean, what Apple has works for them, but I don't know that anyone else could take that model and just clone it. Like, I don't think you can clone it, because the thing with Apple is they have this very tightly controlled ecosystem, and so it's like, they have their line of products. That line of products is sold in the store. everything is just kind of connected along this vertically integrated slice.
Yeah.
And other retailers just don't have that. So
right.
They have all these additional problems, like dealing with distributors and making sure that they can get certain products versus other products at X price. So everything is kind of more difficult for them as opposed to Apple, because Apple only sells, well, I mean, apart from a few accessories, they only sell things that they make. So it's a little easier for them to manage.
Right.
But I think if they work at it, they can figure something out. But hopefully,
yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully, this brand reduction. Is it a reduction? No, it's consolidation.
It's consolidation.
Hopefully, this consolidation will give them the time they need to kind of retool what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't know anyone that likes their color scheme. The blue,
the blue and yellow.
It's really ugly.
I like the blue, but yeah, the yellow is never a great color.
It's really bad.
Blue's good, but
yeah.
So many things are blue these days. A lot of apps are blue.
See, I don't know if I could... It's going to take a lot to get people in the doors again, because every time I go to a Best Buy, I can only speak for the one location that I go to, but it's not very busy. And it doesn't seem to matter what day I go in, if it's a Friday or a Saturday or whatever. There are not that many people in that store.
Well, that location to me is kind of tucked out of the way. It's behind Coquitlam Center.
Yeah.
Behind that mall with the...
But it's easy to get to. It's right on like a major road.
Well, sort of.
I mean, there's no question that having...
I mean, it's not...
See, actually, you know what? Maybe the answer is, at least locally in this area, is you get rid of that location in that spot, and where Future Shop is attached to the mall, you reopen that up as the Best Buy.
Right? Yeah.
Because that's part of a mall.
Yeah,
you're going to get all that foot traffic.
That would probably be better. I think the location in the mall is probably more ideal for them.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it has more traffic just by being in the mall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I bet if you compared sales for that Best Buy versus the Future Shop does better. So, yeah, it's entirely possible that in some cases it may go the other way. A Best Buy closes, and a Future Shop becomes a Best Buy.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's also going to be interesting to see what happens for some of these locations, because if there are anchor stores like at Lansdowne Mall, Future Shop is an anchor store. It's at one corner of the mall, taking up a huge amount of space. And so suddenly, it's not going to be anything now.
Right.
So a lot of these malls...
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, this is an overall issue with these stores going away, because if you got Future Shop going away and maybe eventually Best Buy going away, you've got Target that's pulled out of Canada, Zellers is no longer a thing, Kmart is no longer a thing in Canada, like all of this big empty space, what are we doing with it?
I don't know, because there's no stores.
Maybe divvy it up and open up smaller retail stores in that space, but... That big retail space doesn't work anymore. I think they'd have to open up smaller shops.
Yeah. Right? It's going to be interesting for the Future Shop in Lansdowne, though, because that's actually a second floor. Like, all of the mall is on the ground floor, but then Future Shop, you take an escalator up, and it's this space on a second floor.
Okay.
There is a yoga center there as well. So, like, you walk past the frosted glass with people doing yoga, and then there's Future Shop. So they might be able to turn that into smaller stores, I suppose. It might work.
Yeah, we'll see. Sucks a lot of people are out of a job, though. That's probably the worst bit of this news.
Well, that's always the worst part. Especially with so many people losing their jobs. And, I mean, if they're not getting immediately rehired, in the case of future shops that are turning into Best Buys, like, if those positions aren't guaranteed for those people, that makes it worse.
But, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
On that note, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we can. We could talk about other stuff, but we might save that for our next episode.
What were you thinking?
The religious freedom law that passed in Indiana.
Oh. What's this about? I haven't heard of this.
Ah. So, Indiana passed Bill SB 101, which makes it legal for people to... I'm not sure about the exact language in the bill, but people are worried that it basically gives people the power to refuse service to people they disagree with on religious grounds.
Yeah, because that's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
So, basically, you could, in theory, have a bakery that could refuse to make a wedding cake for a gay wedding. Mm-hmm. And the law would put them well within their rights to do that.
Yeah. Well, we already have that here. I went into a private doctor's office one time, and there was a sign saying that the doctor there does not give out contraception.
Here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went right by my house. There's one's like, nope, sorry, and we won't give you a referral if you need an abortion either.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty crappy.
Give the people the doctor's name. Let the pitchfork mob begin. No.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, Canada? That? No.
Yeah, I would just never go back and support. Right. Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't support that person.
Yeah. I can't believe that. I would have thought that we'd have laws about that in Canada, like doctors.
I don't know enough about it. Yeah,
do that.
Well, it's funny to me because it's you take the Hippocratic Oath, right? Do no harm, but in their mind, maybe they're thinking they're doing no harm by not giving out, but they are actually, because if you think about it, if somebody is not capable / willing, for whatever reason, to have a child, you know, you're bringing a new life into the world, which is a massive responsibility. If that person is not capable of having a child, like, think about how crappy of a upbringing that person's going to have.
Yeah.
And so they're doing harm by not assisting that person.
Well, and then on the other side, they're also doing harm by basically advocating that people don't use protection.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they could be creating a public health risk with STI outbreaks. Or
right.
Refusing to hand things like that out. I mean, there are places you can get that stuff. But I guess it's easier to get it from your doctor. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of doctors don't have this issue, for sure, but it was, again, it took me a little bit by surprise to see that, especially here, right? I mean, we're so liberal in this city.
Yeah, I mean, and we kind of take that for granted, I think. Like, in the States,
of course,
what you're describing is basically every day, every other doctor, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends what state, but
yeah,
some are worse than others.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure in Indiana there are quite a few doctors that would be like, oh.
Yeah, right. And yeah, the farther south you go, it's going to be more problematic.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, so it's pretty sucky. And it kind of feels like a reaction to gay marriage getting passed everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
can't the federal government overrule that, though?
Well, this is the thing. This law, A, it probably wouldn't survive a constitutional challenge.
Right.
Because it would go against the Equal Protection Clause.
Sure.
But then, at the same time, this is also due to the Supreme Court's ruling on Hobby Lobby, which, if you recall, was that Christian-owned craft store that decided they shouldn't have to pay for birth control for their employees in their health plan.
Yeah, that's BS.
So the Supreme Court ruled that that was acceptable as it was a privately held small corporation, and they basically said that, yes, they're allowed to impose their beliefs on their employees.
It's true. There, I mean, it might be well within the law, but it doesn't make it right.
No, of course not. And in her minority opinion, Ruth Bader Ginsburg basically said this is a slippery slope. Like, by ruling this way, we're opening the law up to all kinds of ridiculous nonsense.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happened. People are looking at that and going, well, if that's what the Supreme Court thinks, well, we can just go right ahead and pass this law that says religious people can do whatever they want, and then say, oh, because I don't agree with this, I don't have to serve you, or I don't have to provide this service to you.
Right. Because the thing is, if you're an employee and if you don't like that, then you can work for someone else. Right?
Yeah.
So,
luckily, the good people of Indiana have started fighting back. People are putting up signs like, everybody's welcome here, and so on. People are putting up joke signs saying, no, Governor Pence, welcome here. Because he's the governor of Indiana who passed the law.
Mm-hmm.
Who apparently is running for president.
Oh, dear.
Yes, the road to 2016 begins.
That'll never happen,
no,
though.
No, of course not.
But it wouldn't be the first time we had an idiot in office. Or when I say we, our American friends.
Yeah. It's funny, people always go, oh, why are you so concerned with their politics? You don't live there. But then it's like, well, they're right below us. So what happens there does.
Well, just because I don't live there doesn't mean I wish people to live under these kind of conditions.
Well, that too. I mean, it's not great. I mean, I have friends in the States, so
yeah,
stuff gets bad down there. I mean, I hear about it, and it's not great. But yeah, I mean, not only that, but what happens there does tend to affect Canada in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when it comes to trade and that sort of thing. But
yeah.
But yeah, hopefully the other attempts, there are other attempts, by the way. Indiana is not the only state that has a bill like this on the table.
Who else?
I'm not sure the exact list, but there is at least one other state that's got it up for discussion. So I can only hope that those other attempts fail, but it's the U.S., so a number of them could succeed.
Yeah. That wouldn't be the first time.
Nope. There's actually a fun website that's created some handmade signs that point out the hypocrisy of this law. For example, no makeup only desolate women paint their faces. Jeremiah 4:30.
What?
As an example of how someone could use this law to discriminate.
Yeah. Is that from the Bible?
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good quotes in there that nobody follows anymore. But
right.
You know, we'll all focus on the one that fits our views, right?
Exactly. As is often the case with many people.
Yeah. Alrighty. So that's the week in a nutshell. So I should point out the Ellen Pao trial verdict.
I haven't kept up on that at all.
Yeah. Basically, she lost, but only because the jury basically decided that their level of sexism was not illegal.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, there is still massive evidence that they were incredibly sexist.
Yeah.
But what they did was not technically illegal.
Right. Well, that's the fine line, right? That's
so. Hopefully, this has shed a light on gender discrimination in tech a little bit, and hopefully, it'll give women the courage to speak out more. And well, I mean, there's that, but then at the same time, obviously, there are people ready to scream at women that speak out. So,
well, I mean, at least raising the awareness that these kind of things can happen, right?
Yeah.
To the general public that might be completely oblivious.
Yeah, and that's always a good thing. So
exactly.
Hopefully, this is a net positive.
I don't know. I don't think that this one instance is going to make much of a difference. But I mean, if this kind of stuff keeps happening and we keep raising awareness that this has happened, that's only a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, society can only change if everyone realizes, hey, this crap is going on and it's really bad, and we need to do something about it.
Exactly.
So the more we shed a light on these issues, the more people will hopefully realize that something needs to be done. And on that note,
we started so positive.
I know.
Talking about movies.
I know. We were all excited about movies, and now all this terrible stuff is happening. I know. It's bad. But hopefully things will get better.
Yeah. Everybody go watch some kitten videos.
Yep. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Impromptu. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to leave a rating on iTunes and let your friends know about us. Detailed show notes for each episode are available on our website at theimpromptu.net. You can follow the show on Twitter at theimpromptu, as well as our hosts individually at Zen Impulse for Michael Norton and at Zero Distraction for Alex Knight. As we are entirely listener-supported, you can donate to us at theimpromptu.net/donate. All proceeds go towards covering bandwidth as well as equipment upgrades to uphold the highest level of audio quality you've come to expect. We really do appreciate your support, and we look forward to seeing you next time.